You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. We have a very special guest. It's a story in sports that, unfortunately, we've seen it, you know, a little bit, of course, in hockey on the men's side with Theo Fleury and Sheldon Kennedy. Obviously, there was the brutal stories in gymnastics and, of course, the NWSL. But it's not like Canadian soccer, especially for women, is many women at the pro levels have had to deal with unwanted sexual advances, being in situations of power, abuse, and more. And one of the women who has the courage to speak up about it, Kira McCormack, joins us now. Kira, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. You're in Thailand doing this. So what time is it in Thailand right now?
It's 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, okay. No, so you got up early for us. I really appreciate it. Now, I read your blog story about it, and you talked about the Vancouver Whitecaps and just, you know, having coaches in positions of power and how, you know, despite emails after emails from many of the women saying, hey, this isn't right, nothing ever changed. So it wasn't just about one coach per se. It was about the whole structure. And this was in your time, you know, and this was not just a one-time thing. I read your story and it was just like, okay, now this is 1 year. Oh, now it's two. Now it's five. Like it's just ongoing. And we just saw what happened in the NWSL. Like, how big of an issue has this been for how long in the women's soccer?
I think for someone that's kind of been deep in the trenches of, you know, pro soccer for the last 20 years, I definitely wasn't surprised at all to see it come out. And I think actually I had a journalist say to me a couple of weeks before the story in the NWSL broke that they just thought it was really weird how quiet soccer was. And he was saying how he always found that the darkest stories were sort of from the quietest corners. And so I thought that was sort of a bit prophetic when that all came out a couple of weeks ago, because yeah, for sure. There's been a lot of stories over the years. You know, and again, I think anytime you're dealing in amateur sports, especially coaches just have so much power over athletes' future. And, if there's not the proper, you know, structure set up and both in terms of the actual structure and the reporting, just these things can happen. So, yeah, for sure. It wasn't a surprise for me at all.
And you look at the Vancouver Whitecaps organization, you know, go back to June 2017 when there was two male youth residency players were alleged to have sexually assaulted another male youth teammate. Police were called in and they were charged with a crime within days. And so, you know, that's from 2008 to 2017, a decade. There was a clear pattern of behavior by the Whitecaps organization of covering it up. And when you were involved in that organization, what was the response when you tried to approach someone to say, hey, this isn't right?
It was essentially either I was ignored or I had sort of the upper management kind of call me to sort of have, you know, talks to try to like placate me a little bit. And that to me, like, to be honest, and I think part of why I ended up speaking out was that, you know, the exact same people are in charge of the Whitecaps that, you know, were at the helm for, you know, two very serious situations that involved the police. And in the case of 2017, like, I didn't come forward till 2019, but I watched the mom come forward in 2017. And, you know, she went on air to say that the Whitecaps tried to get her to, you know, they didn't want to get the police involved. They wanted to do it in-house and all this kind of stuff. And that mom was smart enough to be like, no, this is a criminal situation. I'm going to the police. And then obviously then the Whitecaps tried to backtrack after the fact. So that to me is really problematic, because even now there's the Whitecaps Rex in Alberta. There's the Whitecaps Rex in Vancouver, and exactly the same people that enabled the abuse and ignored it, you know, both in our case in 2008 and 2017 are still there. So this isn't like it's a past problem. Like, the exact same leadership are there. And that's part of the problem with abuse, is that there's no way of getting the kind of upper echelon people out, you know. So it's, you know, the next best step is just to make everybody aware.
Kira McCormack joins us. And Kira, you look at, you know, at Soccer Canada, like the women's game on national Olympic gold medal, like it's at the peak of success on the field. But when you talk to the players still now, is those abusive situations still going on?
I do think things have changed at the national team level, and okay. You know, that's great for those 18 players, you know, that are playing for Canada, and so for sure, do I think that this kind of situation could ever manifest again at that level? I hope not. I really don't think they could get away with it at that level, and I do think things for the national team for sure are great, but again, it's the players beneath them, which there's tons of, yeah, in Canada, that are like the vulnerable ones. And I think even a lot of the girls that are on the national team play in the NWSL, and this obviously, you know, this whole thing that came up in the last month is an NWSL thing. So I think that again, the NWSL shows that it is still pervasive at the highest levels. Have things changed at the highest levels in Canada? I think, yeah, for sure. I'm not in that environment, but I would guess it's gotten a lot better. But again, it's still, there's lots of other players in Canada besides the 18 players on the national team. And, what happened in the NWSL showed that it's not, you know, these things aren't above happening at that level.
And Paul Riley, of course, that was, you know, he's the one who's really at the center of the whole NWSL. But he's one individual, and his actions are deplorable. But the fact that there were people in positions, mm-hmm, to change it, and they never did, they never listened, mm-hmm, to these women over and over again. And to me, that just reflects a societal problem, that because I think society as a whole, we don't do a good enough job to listen to men or women when they're in these type of abusive situations. So I'm assuming, because of your experience, you weren't surprised by this. I'm guessing you'd heard rumblings of this. You'd talked to women in the game. Were you surprised it finally at least came to the forefront? And so what do you think took it so long?
It's funny because obviously I never in a million years imagined that I'd sort of be like, you know, so much of my like time in life now is sort of in the space of abuse and sport, but I've been pretty deep in it the last couple of years since I posted my blog. And I think for me, like, the one thing that I've really noticed is that there's a really distinct pattern that exists, whether it's, you know, it honestly doesn't matter sport, gender, age, sexuality, like everything, like what country you're in. It's the same kind of pattern where, like, you know, the factors are there to set up the, you know, the abuse, which again is sort of the coach kind of having all the power, you know, being the gatekeeper to the next level. Then abuse happens. Then, you know, the person or people around it will try to go to, you know, somebody in the authority position. They are part of an organization that will, you know, be legally liable or whatever if something comes out. So their first action is to get rid of the coach as quickly as they can and to kind of like shoo away the, you know, the reporters of the abuse. And then there's a, you know, a dark period as somebody that's gone through it where you're trying to report. No one's listening. And then there's like an explosion, which like in my case was me writing my blog, or with the NWSL situation, the Athletic story. And then after it's like finally breaks through into the public space, which again is very healing when you've been gaslit for like a lot of years, when you know the information you have is really like, is really serious stuff and the reaction isn't appropriate from the people you're reporting to. Then, you know, so there is validation and there is healing that comes when that story finally gets out. But then what I've seen again over and over again is that then the organization wants to do an investigation, and then they usually hire someone that kind of continues to enable the abuse by saying, oh, the organization's not liable, they did everything right, whatever. And then kind of, you know, you're back to square one again. So I think maybe in this case it might be a little bit different just because the NWSL Players Association's involved, and you know, it's not going to be able to sort of be swept under the rug. And, you know, in our case with the Whitecaps, that's exactly what they did. They hired a law firm that, again, you know, they quote unquote interviewed everybody and then came to the conclusion that the Whitecaps did nothing wrong, even though there was clear evidence that they totally enabled the abuse and covered it up. So that's, again, what you're also dealing with in these situations. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, you would hope that people would do the right thing when information gets presented to them. But my experience and just the stories that I've heard shows over and over again that, you know, that people choose not to. And I think we also need to focus on those people, because abuse doesn't happen without enablers. And if you're getting, yes, information reported to you and you don't act on it, you're a huge part of the problem, you know? And unfortunately there's a certain level of those people that don't lose their jobs or suffer any repercussions. So I think that that's something as a society we need to figure out.
Kara McCormack joins us, and the Whitecaps, for them to just, like, they hire a firm. Oh, guess what? We're going to hire a lawyer? No, shocking. They're going to find us that we're innocent. Like, when was the last time that you'd have to have somebody independent? And now, I don't know, like, do the Whitecaps fall, like, can Soccer Canada, is that where it has to start? Do they have to have a bigger branch and want to come down on the Whitecaps or any of these other organizations at any level that are enabling this type of abuse to continue?
Well, this is exactly the situation around my blog is exactly such a good example of the dysfunction in the system, because you have the Whitecaps and Canada Soccer that covered up the abuse, because this coach, back in 2008, the structure was that there was a Whitecaps women's team that was also training with a Canadian under 20 team, and this coach was the head coach of both teams. So it was directly under Canada Soccer's jurisdiction that this coach was coaching. So Canada Soccer was actually the ones that also covered up the abuse with this coach. And then on top of that, then you have the director of the national teams in 2008 that was directly overseeing the under 20 team that this cover up happened with. He's now gone on to be the vice president of FIFA. So like, it's like, where do you go for somebody, you know, that's even not connected in our situation, you know, with this. So it's just everybody protecting everybody else. And in our case, you know, with the NWSL, US Soccer came out yesterday with a really empathetic statement, and that, you know, they were going to get to the bottom of it. And Canada Soccer hasn't even acknowledged anything, you know, barely with our situation. And so, you know, and that was their coach that they fired and covered up for and allowed back into the community to coach teenage girls for 10 years and who now faces 9 sex charges, you know. And it's disturbing that there's nowhere to go. To be honest, like my conclusion after what I've been through the last couple of years is just, we have to start an athlete-led, you know, looking out for athlete, almost like union or just some organization that their sole job is to just, you know, ensure that there's checks and balances and that athletes have a safe place to go if abuse happens, because it just doesn't exist right now. And the balance of power, I think, leaves athletes very vulnerable, even to the youngest ages of sports.
And which Canadian coach has the 9 charges against him?
Bob Berarda. He was the one that I wrote the blog about.
Was that Coach Billy in your blog at the time?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, obviously when I wrote the blog, I was terrified, you know, coming forward with the story, because I knew it was obviously big. So I think for me at the time, like, it kind of, I don't know. I named him Coach Billy in the blog, but yeah, he's been named now. And again, he's been charged with 9 sex crimes, including one from 2008, which is the year that everything got brushed under the rug with Canada Soccer and the Whitecaps. So I think that kind of says it all.
Yeah, like, that's 13 years ago. That's a long time, I think, to be a victim, knowing that you have the truth and no one's really listening to you. Were you able at all to exhale and be like, okay, finally? Like, finally, he's going to have to be held accountable for his actions?
Oh, my goodness. Like, that is one thing that I just think people need to understand with these stories, is that, like, it's not even just what happened. Like, yeah, he upended a lot of people's soccer careers by being the gatekeeper and abusing his power and all that kind of stuff. But honestly, the damage for, like, you know, for, it was 11 years till I wrote my blog from when he got fired, like, and all the, you know, we counted it up. There was 2 or 3 of us behind the scenes that were kind of working on this over the last decade. And we try to report it 30 different times to 30 different, you know, like, organizations or people or whatever. And that's so damaging when you are, you know, and honestly, like, for me, I didn't even realize, like, my life before and after have been completely different. And just, I never even understood the weight of, like, just not being taken seriously and how hard it was to, like, I couldn't move forward knowing that this whole situation was still unresolved. And yeah, absolutely. When the blog came out and the story got out there and the reaction was appropriate to how serious the story was. And my goodness, like, I can't even put into words how healing all of that was. So I think that again, that whole idea of, like, you know, covering up and enabling for abusers, like, I really think that those people need to be held accountable, because there's so much trauma and damage done when you're in that situation and no one's taking you seriously.
Yeah, Bob Berarda, for anybody, that's the That's the coach who at nine. He was a former Vancouver Whitecaps, Canadian national team women coach, and nine different charges on sex-related charges. And Kira McCormack joins us. And Kira, I'm happy that you were. I hope that you were able to get at least a sense of relief when you saw the charges come down against Bob, because having to live with that, and I think all the people that didn't listen to you over and over, I hope they maybe look in the mirror and recognize that, you know what, people don't make up these accusations 99.999% of the time. So maybe more people need to take it serious and listen to it. But I get a sense that you're not done, because like Bob's just one guy. And unfortunately,
100%.
In a system that allows this, we would be naive to think that he's the only one doing it. There's probably still many out there. And the Whitecaps and Canada Soccer and USA Soccer and the NWSL, people need to have bigger eyes open. What would be your advice to parents who have young daughters specifically in this? To what do they have to keep their eyes open for? What are the clear warning signs?
That's a really good question. And to be honest, for me, like, it's a huge piece of the work that I want to do moving forward. I think it's just really important for parents to, you know, just be aware of, just to be honest, also too, like, obviously this has gotten a lot of publicity because of the sexual, you know, nature of it, but like, there's so much emotional abuse that's been allowed go on in sports. And I honestly think it creates a continuum to, like, you know, where players are used to being mistreated. And then, you know, these coaches come along and kind of up the ante a little bit. So I think, like, honestly, any situation that your child is not happy in their environment, it's not worth it. Like, this whole narrative that, like, these abusive coaches are, like, what's going to help you get to the next level. Like, yeah. I've just seen so many people broken from their experience in sports. So I think, like, to just be aware of that. And then I think it, from the sexual side of things, like, anytime a coach is, like, you know, telling kids that they're the pathway to, you know, get to the next level or trying to get time on their own with the players, like, you know, no coaches should be alone with their players. With social media, like, there should be boundaries, you know, like coaches should be definitely maintaining a line between the, you know, the professional line and the athletes' personal lives and those sorts of things. So, I mean, I think all those things are sort of things to be aware of, and just, again, to sort of get familiar with what grooming is. And, you know, these are things that no one talked to us about, but, you know, you experience it and it feels disgusting, but you don't have the words to know what's going on. So I just think the more that, like, parents can just arm themselves with, you know, those sorts of terms. And that's something, again, that I'm hoping to kind of, that whole, like, education and awareness piece for athletes is something that I'm pretty passionate about moving forward. But for sure, it's a part of it, because right now there's no protections in place for athletes. Like, you know, there's a lot of window dressing, but not a lot of substance.
Well, Kira, I appreciate your strength for coming forward and writing that blog when no one else wanted to many years ago. I'm happy that you got a little bit of relief from the charges against Beretta. And I hope that we can stay in touch and have you on in the future and see where you're going to go to help future athletes hopefully not have to deal with what you had to deal with. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.